So glad to have this many people for church this morning. We have a family from the Cameron Road Church in Austin who's come to see and be with Kelsey Valdez, who is one of our new students at Texas A&M. So we're glad to have this young lady be part of our congregation, and she's so well thought of that a whole family has come to Galveston to share this day with her. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'm in a series on the stories that Jesus told. We commonly call them the parables. I simply refer to them as stories because story form is a wonderful way of communication. And Jesus was a master at communicating some of the great spiritual truths by telling stories. This morning, the story that we're going to tell is found in verses 5 to 8. I read these verses with you. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." I like the translation of this word that in earlier translations was translated importunity, because I didn't know what importunity was. The newer translation, "because of your shameless audacity, he'll get up." That at least we know what that means. He told this story after the disciples had made this request of him. They had seen Jesus praying, and they came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. As John the Baptist taught his disciples, please teach us to pray." And so Jesus told the story after he had given them an outline of a basic prayer. We know what that prayer is. He said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." The interesting thing about this model prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, it's embedded in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And here it is repeated in the context of the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray. Now, you know the disciples were religious people even before they were called to be disciples. Jesus chose the apostles. They were not strangers to spiritual truths or interest in spiritual living. They were deeply religious men themselves. And yet, when they saw Jesus praying, there was something about the way he prayed that made them think they didn't know anything about prayer. I've been wanting to talk about prayer for some time because one of the strengthening things I've had personally in our life together in recent years has been the prayers that we've made for people that have been answered for us. Just unbelievable number of times we have prayed for people, and maybe what we were asking for seemed impossible, but it became true. And that has strengthened my faith in the power of prayer. I believe that prayer does change things. I think things that otherwise would not have been become so because of prayer. And if there is no group that, if I had a problem that I needed to share with a group for prayer, this is the group that I would come to. We have a marvelous history of prayer together. Let's look at this story. It's a story of an unexpected guest at night. In fact, he arrives at midnight. And so that gives us kind of a sense of how inconvenient it would be for somebody else to get up and to help somebody who's had an unexpected guest. We have to remember that culture was so different from our culture. In our culture today, we cannot imagine this happening. If we're going to have surprise guests, we would expect them to call in advance or send a text or email. We have communications so that we're not caught by surprise. And if we were caught by surprise, if we didn't have anything for them, that's just their luck. That would be our culture. But if you understand the culture in which Jesus spoke, that is not the way they looked at things. They looked at things as if the person who is the surprised host has to provide for his traveler, for his guest. And it was a shame to that person if he was not able to provide some food for someone who arrived late at night. One of the reasons why the story maybe fits more in that time and place is because it was so hot in the daytime that people did travel at night or early morning in order to avoid the heat. So what Jesus was saying about somebody who is traveling at night and about midnight he comes knocking on your door is not something that would have surprised his hearers. This friend who is in bed with his family has taken all the preparations that were necessary at that time to put his family to bed, and he did not want to be disturbed. And he basically said that. He said, I can't get up. It's after midnight. My children are in bed. I'm in bed. I can't help you. Well, what do you do about that? And Jesus says what you would do is you just keep knocking on that door. And finally, not because he's a friend, but because of your audacious shamelessness of just standing there knocking and keeping asking, he will get up and give you the bread that you ask for. The friend will respond to persistence when he will not respond to anything else. Isn't that interesting? You'd think that a man would respond because of friendship. But Jesus says, no, friendship may not be enough. But if you're persistent, then he will respond. And in that, he wanted to teach us something about prayer. Jesus appeals to this reason, as he says in verses 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's a wonderful explanation that Jesus makes of this story. Now, we are not to think of God as this friend who finally was shamed into getting up and do something for his neighbor. The strange thing about the stories of Jesus on prayer, this is not the only one to teach this lesson, but in every lesson that he taught about persistence in prayer, there is a an anti-hero figure in that story. You recall a similar story that teaches the same lesson was about a judge. And Jesus said this judge didn't fear man or God. And a woman, a mother, who had a just cause on her side, just was so persistent in hounding this judge for justice that he finally gave in and gave her justice. And here it is not a judge that Jesus sketches for us, but rather a friend who does not get up and respond out of friendship, but rather out of persistence that you give. We're not to think of God in that way, although I think many people do, that somehow God just doesn't want us to give us what we need, and we have this negative image of God. Jesus says it is a contrast, not a comparison. Contrast between God and man is so great, but that's what you ought to keep in mind. If even on a human level, as fathers, we would not give a serpent if our sons ask us for fish, or we will not give a scorpion if they ask us for an egg, we know how to give good gifts to our children, and we do that. And so we ought to think of God as greater than that human being who knows how to give good gifts. And Jesus said, God gives us the greatest possible gift. And I call your attention to specifically what he says that gift is. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, in a similar story, Jesus makes the same point. And then he says that how much more will God give good gifts to his children? Here he says he will give the Holy Spirit to his children. The way I understand that is this. Sometimes one gift can encompass many gifts. To give an illustration, a parent wants to provide for children a good education, a means of making a living honorably, the mental capacity to make good choices, and to be successful in life. That's what a parent wants to give his children. Well, we might say if you give him a good education, then all those things are encompassed. And many gifts are wrapped up in that one gift. And so in this place, Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to you? And he says, which we have in our lives. I know that the ladies have been studying for several weeks the Holy Spirit, and I hear comments about how much they're learning on this subject and how important that subject is. We ought to remember that when we are baptized, the promise is twofold. We will receive the forgiveness of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, then you have all the gifts that the Spirit can bring to you in your life. God is not the unwilling friend. He's not saying there's any similarity between God's action toward us and what this unwilling friend was toward him. Nonetheless, if we respond to persistence, Jesus is saying it's only reasonable that we are persistent in our prayer life to the Lord. Now, God knows better than we what we need or what is our good, because he alone sees all time. What I often think about what Brother Miller told me one Sunday after I made a similar point, and he reminded me of Garth Brooks' song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayer." We don't always know when we're asking. We don't always know what is best for us. And sometimes we think we're asking what is best for us when, in fact, what we're asking for, it would be lethal to us. And so it is good that God does not always just grant everything that we ask. Prayers may be denied for several reasons. In James chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, James speaks in this way. He said, if we have doubts, we ought to pray to God, and we ought to pray without any doubts in our minds that God answers prayer. A man who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is tossed to and fro. And James makes that analogy. So our prayers may be denied sometimes because we don't really believe that God can answer those prayers. Another reason why James says we do not receive in prayer is because we act selfishly. James chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "You have not because you ask not, and even when you ask selfishly." So we ought to have the welfare of others and the benefit of others in our minds as we pray for one another. A third reason why prayers may be denied, the Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, we are disobedient to Him, and we have to align ourselves with God as our Father and come to Him without disobedience in our heart. I have asked myself some questions involving prayer, and I'll share them with you. Why should asking be required if God knows what we need before we ask? Why is asking the first time not sufficient, especially if God knows what we need even before we ask? Have you ever thought about that? Why should I ask for what God knows that I need? Well, prayer often indicates an attitude of mind and an attitude of spirit. And I think it's just like a parent likes for a child to acknowledge, to ask for, and then acknowledge when they receive a good gift. So God would want us to acknowledge the gifts that we receive, and also to recognize that the gifts do come from Him. Human nature being what it is, if we did not recognize that God is the giver of all good gifts, then we would think that we somehow merited or earned or created our own blessings, and that would lead to pride. A second question that I wrote down for myself. Why do Christians fail to pray? Many exhortations for Christians to pray imply that they may not be praying, and they may neglect their prayer life. Sometimes we fail to pray because we're discouraged in life. There's no question about that. And part of that discouragement may be because a prayer was not answered that we very desperately wanted. But we need to overcome those impediments to prayer and daily engage in prayer. The most frequent time that I pray personally is in the middle of the night when I wake up and can't sleep. That is a time when your thoughts, whether they're subconscious thoughts or whatever they may be, to me it shows what's on your mind. And if it's on your mind, you ought to take it to God in prayer. And that's, others find different times of the day more convenient, but for me, I have a habit after about 3 hours in sleep to wake up and my mind is working, And that's when I consider it prayer, and it's amazing how long it can go on, because what you're doing is you're developing your thoughts, and in the presence of God, and that's, I consider that prayer. A third question I asked, should our prayers and our prayer requests be specific or generic? A lot of our prayers are generic. We pray for world peace, that's generic. I guess it just depends on what the subject matter is how I would answer that. Sometimes you can be very specific, I think, in your prayer. This is what I feel I want because this is what I feel I need, and be specific about it. But always our prayer should be broad enough to encompass the totality of our lives and the interests of others that we are very much connected with. Jesus realized that there is a problem with people continuing in prayer. And that's why he told more than one story about prayer. And these stories about prayer are always to emphasize one thing: be persistent in prayer. Don't give up on it. And it will surprise you and delight you to see that God answers your prayers, oftentimes in ways that you have no idea that it could have been answered that way. That's the marvel of prayer. I hope that this lesson encourages you to pray and encourages you, especially when we call for us to pray for certain ones who are sick or going through crisis, that you will engage in that prayer, and all those prayers then go up to God for his blessing and for his answer. We're going to sing the invitation song. If someone wants to confess their faith in Christ and to be baptized, we give you that opportunity. Or if you have a prayer request that we can meet, we invite you to stand while we sing.
Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to heal my woe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He it white as snow, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to hear my woe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Be seated, please.